Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Rose, and with me is Kathy, our resident homeschooling mom, and we'd like to start our show today with a story for the kids. If you'll remember from last week, summer had ended and Bicky was done herding cows, and now he faced a great disappointment. But Uncle Alan didn't. He began putting on his heavy farm shoes, getting ready to go to the cornfield. Then at last he looked at Bicky.
You've earned a lot of money this summer, Bicky. I'll be going into State Center one of these days soon, and I'll give it to your mother.
He stood looking down at Bicky, and Bicky couldn't say a word. During all the long, lonesome days of herding, he had looked forward to this day when he would carry his own money home and lay it in Mother's hand. A big, hard lump came up in his throat, and it ached something awful. Bicky began to think he couldn't swallow the thing. Uncle Alan went on.
You see, Bicky, you are a minor until you are 21, and if you should lose that money, your mother could force me to pay it over again. You have earned $33.10.
Then Bicky did swallow, and his words burst out.
Uncle Alan, I won't lose that money. No one will rob me. I'll put it in my raincoat hood and my carpet bag. Who would look at me and think I had money in this old bag?
More sharp hurting things had come up in his throat and chest. He made another manful attempt to choke them down.
Aunt Mary has told me that as soon as my summer's work was done, I could carry my own money home to mother my own self.
Then Aunt Mary spoke up. Alan, it's true what Bicky says. I have told him several times that he could carry his wages home to his mother when the summer was done. Of course, it was my thought that he would ride home with you, but after the way he has behaved this summer, I think he can be trusted. So Uncle Alan went and got the money. Three $10 bills, three $1 bills, and $0.10. Bicky stowed them away in his carpet bag and hurried out the kitchen door and down the road. He had gone as far as the gate when he remembered that he had forgotten to say goodbye or to thank Uncle Alan and Aunt Mary for their kindness. He turned back.
Oh, Uncle Alan and Aunt Mary, I was so happy thinking about Mother and the money I'd earned and everything that I forgot to say goodbye and thank you. You were so kind to me all summer. That's all right, Bicky.
Uncle Alan shook his hand.
If you want to be our herd boy next summer, I'll be glad to have you.
Here on Homeschool Companion, we feel it's important to not only feature curriculum and teaching strategies and experts in the field, but also to bring you some inspirational stories. And today we're interviewing Phil Kagi, certainly a life well lived. Welcome to our show. I'm here with Phil Kagi. His career has spanned more than 30 years, includes more than 50 solo albums. And, I mean, I'm already in awe of you. He was inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame in 2007. Phil is one of the top 10 best rock singers in Christian music history, and it was Gospel Music Channel named you that.
Wow, that's news to me.
2009. Phil ranks alongside Prince, the Beatles lead guitarist George Harrison, Kurt Cobain, if I mispronounce some of these, feel free to correct me, Neil Young, and Fleetwood's Mac Lindsey Buckingham as one of the Rolling Stone magazine's 25 most underrated guitarists. Phil recorded 8 albums with seminal 70s rock band Glass Harp. Phil's latest project, Interdimensional Traveler, Zafira on drums and Jack Gehring on keyboards. The project was released under the moniker of Phil Kagi Trio.
Yes.
That's neat. Phil is married to author Bernadette Kagi.
And also interior designer and great homemaker and a great mom and great wife. And yeah, she wrote one book.
Fantastic. And your older sister was a Hollywood actress who appeared in the Cecil B. DeMille's film The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston.
Yeah, she did.
So you have it's in your blood. You've got genetics here.
Uh-huh. Oh, now, yeah, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about, we'll start back 30 years ago when your career is just beginning.
Well, actually, that should be corrected, actually. I started my career back when I met John Safara.
Okay.
Who's on Interdimensional Traveler as the drummer. We met in 1965, and I believe that's 46 years ago. And I did record my first record 46 years ago.
Wow.
And not 30 years ago.
That's fantastic. And as you've, you know, 46 years, were you a Christian then?
No, I was just a regular kid on the block who played guitar. And on our blocks in those days, you know, there was a guitar player on every block, you know. And my dad even told me as a kid, he said, "Now listen, son, all you always remember that guitar players are a dime a dozen." So I don't think I ever got a big head over it because I just wanted to work at it and be as good as I could be. And I had some great influences, great models, great heroes of music, guitar players from Scotty Moore, who played for Elvis Presley, to James Burton, to Les Paul, to Jeff Beck, Michael Bloomfield, Alan Holdsworth, Pat Metheny, George Harrison, Paul McCartney. And, you know, a lot of people, Eric Clapton, the list goes on and on and on. Wes Montgomery, you know. I could talk all day.
Yeah, your life has touched many lives, and many lives have touched your life.
Absolutely, you know.
And every life influences us to some degree.
That's so true, Rose. In fact, you mentioned my sister Mary Ellen, who is an actress. It was she who actually brought me to faith in Jesus Christ in a personal way, in a more intimate way. And our mom was in a car accident on Valentine's Day of 1970. And a week later, she passed away from that accident. Yeah, and I was on tour with my band Glass Harp, John, and mm-hmm. Daniel Pecchio, our bass player. And when we got home from that trip, got in about 4 o'clock in the morning to discover all the lights were on, mm-hmm. cars were in the driveway. I walked in the front door, and they just looked at me. I was 18 years old at the time, and they said, "Mom just passed away tonight." And I just broke down. I just cried, you know. She was so incredibly encouraging to me. I was the ninth of 10 children. And she let me go out and play with the bands when I was too young to be out, you know, because she trusted that this is what I needed to do to develop my, mm-hmm. my gifting and my artistry. And so she was always in my corner. Dad was too, but Mom even more so. Now, Mary Ellen, she had been in the movies. And then it was through Oral Roberts' ministry that she came to know Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And she shared that hope with me, especially at this low time in
yes.
my life. And I responded. I went with her to church and gave my heart to Jesus. And the next thing I knew, I was searching for music that lifted him up. First song I went to listen to was a Blind Faith song that had Eric Clapton in the group called Presence of the Lord. I listened to it all day long that Sunday afternoon in February 1970. Then I started writing my own songs expressing my faith over the months after that. And so now if you ever, excuse me, if you ever want to see my sister Mary Ellen in that movie, she has a speaking line, you know. It's in this movie, Cast of Thousands, right?
Uh-huh.
The Ten Commandments. She's the one that says, gold will never mend a broken heart. And then she says, when the young girl finds Moses in the basket, you know,
yes.
floating
uh-huh.
in the reeds, she's the one that says, "Be sure it's not a crocodile." That was my sister. So
I
yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, she was just beautiful, and she's still beautiful. She's alive and
it
well.
It almost sounds like she kind of took over the mothering role in
she
the
did.
Family's life.
She did. She did, and I kept in touch with her over the years. Whenever I went through a struggle in my own faith, in my life, or felt any... I was, you know, there was one time where I really was dealing with some fear. She just prayed for me, and she gave me scriptures. She's always that way, and she still is that way. She leads a Bible study at the age of 81, and she still sings and still looks beautiful.
That's wonderful.
She looks like Emmy Lou Harris, in fact.
Yeah.
Older, but she's got this beautiful gray hair. And
Well, I want to talk about this album.
Oh, yeah.
The Interdimensional Traveler. Explain the title.
Well, and here's a copy for you. Now, this album is all instrumental. okay?
That's perfect.
Now, see this fellow, this character in the middle? His name's Jack Gehring. He's the keyboard player. Now, primarily, all these songs were composed by Jack, but because I put the melody, the guitar lines, and the guitar parts to it, he gives me also authorship of these songs, and John as well, because John helped him arrange these songs. So it's actually an album that primarily stemmed from him. The roots of this music came from Jack Gehring, and then John and I were contributors to the compositions. Now, Jack calls this album kind of a soundtrack to his near-death experience. Mm. That's why he calls it Interdimensional Traveler. He's a real character. He's a farmer. He's been a musician, lifelong musician. He's a man of the woods, you could say. But he had died. You know, he had a heart attack and died, and he remembers what it was like.
So that is a good title, Interdimensional Traveler.
Yeah. So he makes a little excerpt on it. I think it's an interesting album. It's fun. It's all instrumental.
Yeah, the titles, like Porch Puppy Theme.
Yeah, that was a dog he had. He called Porch Puppy.
That's cool.
And when the dog passed away, he came up with this song as a remembrance.
Let's take a moment here to listen to one of your songs from your album, Interdimensional Traveler. You know, it won't be long until we are all interdimensional travelers. Picture that puppy making the porch's domain.
Yeah, and Thin Ice and...
Thin Ice.
That's one of my favorite ones. It's kind of like Jeff Beck. The style is kind of like Jeff Beck. And it's kind of like...
Funny Bones.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too. You could dance to this album, actually. We've got a new one just about finished.
Barely
out. We've got a new one just about finished. Because, you see... Jack and John records at John's studio, and then they send me the files, and in my studio I do all the guitar work and multiple guitar tracks, and I send it back to John. He just flies it in, you know, cyberspace through the internet, and he mixes it, and it's so easy. I don't have to go to Ohio. They don't have to come down here. We did this entire album without even being in the same studio, me and the other two guys. I did an album with Jeff Johnson. Have you ever heard of him? A keyboardist who lives up in the state, Washington State album area near Seattle. And we did an album that way as well. Now, I love being in the studio with other musicians, and I've done that often.
Now, have you ever done a concert together?
Well, I always play with John and our friend Daniel Pecchio as Glass Harp still. Mm-hmm. We did about 4 or 5 concerts last year, and I did most of my concerts as solo. But Jack has come on stage and sat in with us. But we have yet to perform this music live. See, Jack had a bypass heart operation last year, and then Jack had his gallbladder taken out a few months ago. So he's actually been in recovery. You know, he's older than us. But he's got a lot of great history. Now, you're a math teacher, and you teach deep math, I'm sure of it.
Well, I don't know. They think it's deep.
It would be deep to me. Because what used to happen to me in high school is whenever I'd have to start concentrating on math, especially problem solving and all that kind of stuff, I'd start hearing music.
Yes.
And so I was weak in math, but strong in music.
Yes.
But it's interesting how so much music is mathematical.
It is.
You know, it's
it
amazing.
It is.
Even all the notes are a frequency.
Yes.
You know, it's just amazing.
And I always tell my students, I go, I want you to know that this is probably the first time in your experience you've ever had a right-brained math teacher, because my background is music. And I said, hopefully we will connect, because I do remediation algebra on the collegiate level. And so they're usually a bunch of right brain students that are very creative, but they've got to get this math in order to move on. And so I've had so many of them at the conclusion of the class go, you're right. You were able to speak it and show it and sing it. And, you know, I even bring in chimes of different length frequencies to help them get a concept that math is so important. It's connected to everything we do.
Gee, Miss Rose, I sure wish I would have had you as a teacher in high school. It really would have made a difference. I might have done better with my finances.
Well, I still have a hard time with finances. It just, you know, for a right brain person, a very creative person, a very abstract, random, thinking in bubbles. I mean, it's just, you know, it comes to you at different times, and it's very hard to worry about those columns.
Have you seen that that video that's been on Vimeo or might be on wimp.com, The Boy with the Incredible Brain? Have you seen that?
I've seen parts of it. I tend to fall asleep when I watch movies because...
Well, this is a short. Check it out.
I will.
Kid, I think he's in his 20s. He's just unbelievable how he conceptualizes and how he sees shapes and patterns.
Yes.
And he's doing all this. It's like kids with the, what do they call it? The aberrasque?
The savants.
They play with the thing where they're moving the little abacus.
Yeah, the abacus.
Yeah.
They do all their...
These kids are doing that, you know. Just pretty amazing stuff.
So how many guitars have you owned in your career?
Well, I've shared a few. I've sold a few. I've got probably 12 now.
You know,
but I use them all. You know, I use them all. They all have a purpose. You know, I don't have a truckload, but I have guitars that I've held onto for a long time, over 40 years, couple over 20 some years, and but I'm not really a guitar shopper, you know.
Yeah, once they find one.
Yeah, I just keep using them.
You've won numerous Dove Awards for your instrumental albums, but you are also well regarded as one of the top rock vocalists in Christian music.
That surprises me. I never was known for that. Yeah, the Dove Awards all had to do with instrumental projects, and of course, you know, I'll never see another one because you have to be on these Christian labels to be nominated. Now that I'm indie for the last 10 years, that will never happen. But that's okay, you know. I'd rather see other people shine anyway. I don't know. The whole award-winning thing is kind of odd to me. I don't like being up against other great musicians in a competition.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've never understood it. And
yeah, that's not what counts.
That's right.
It's not what counts.
A life well lived.
Exactly.
And have you ever experienced where you've been criticized and maligned and misrepresented? And then how did you navigate through that kind of thing, if you've ever experienced that? I can't imagine that you haven't. Almost every person has at some point.
I don't know. I try not to read my own press. I try not to read the comments If someone directs me to a YouTube or something, I'd rather just stay away from that. I've been blessed with a lot of good friendships, and I've had good criticism, and I take to heart the criticism I've been able to receive. When criticism comes out of a place of truth and caring, then it's really constructive and it's helpful. Really is. I never expected that I'd be liked or embraced by everybody, you know, with what I do. The person that matters the most is Jesus, and I do believe he's a real person, and my wife Bernadette and my kids. You know, I have a small circle of friends, and those people matter to me as well. So I don't know, I just do what I do. I'm really grateful I'm not too famous, you know. In fact,
you might get more famous.
I don't know. I put my guitar in the overhead bin, you know, on the plane recently, and a guy sat next to me, saw me put my guitar up. He goes, "Are you famous? Or are you somebody I should know?" I go, "Well, I'm a working musician. I'm not necessarily famous, but I never see myself as famous, you know. But I'm grateful that I have an audience that comes to hear me play and sing."
Now, have you sustained you and your family just with your music through the years?
Gratefully, yes. I am very grateful that I have, you know.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, praise the Lord for that.
And, you know, back to the other question I asked you when you said you just don't pay much attention. I really like that, because when I think of Nehemiah, he at some point, you know, he kept being bothered by Sanballat and Tobiah. And at some point he said, "Look, I can't come down to meet with you. I've got a wall to build." And I think that, you know, your music is the wall that God has given you to build. And so rather than looking here or worrying about who said what, you've just stayed the course. And you've been able to sustain you and your family with this gift, and then and also bless so many people. I just admire that so much. And I thank you that you've taken this time to talk to us.
Thank you, Rose. I'm talking with
Phil Kagi. He is the artist on the album Interdimensional Traveler, and it's so inspirational. It's a great CD. And how best could our listeners obtain it?
You could find it on philkagi.com. You can also find it at iTunes. iTunes has it. It's by the Phil Kagi Trio. And it's one of those what do you call it when it's when it's between projects? Interim. It's an interim project. I'm hoping to do a new vocal album soon as well, because I do still like to sing very much. And being that I'm an indie artist with my friends here, we could put out stuff. You know, I recently played on Mickey Dolan's new album, so I'm also a studio guitarist. And Mickey's got a good new album coming out.
Fantastic.
Of course, I record, as I mentioned, with Jeff Johnson. Yeah, there's a number of albums of all kinds of variety on iTunes, you know, and my website. So I appreciate those who listen and might enjoy it. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
God bless you too, Rose.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. We would also like to thank our production staff and the various networks for making this broadcast possible. For more information, go to myhomeschoolcompanion.com. That's myhomeschoolcompanion.com.